There we go. If you can go to the next one, the next slide there, Seamus, after Sister Prejean. Are we stuck? Yep, can we go to the next one? Oh, excellent, perfect. Okay, so I want to suggest some ways that you can love your neighbor. Now, everyone has a different way to love your neighbor as yourself, but I want to share what will be impactful if you can do these five things. Being present with another person means listening. How good are we at listening to another person? Here's five ingredients of listening to another person I want to suggest here this morning. And it's like a food recipe, except it's even better. If you have a food recipe, you need all five ingredients, right? If you miss one of the ingredients, the recipe's messed up. Guess what? With this, if we just practice two of the five, that would be amazing. Ingredient number one, giving our full attention. Do you realize how hard it is to do that these days? I don't know about you, but I'm thinking about what I'm having for dinner when someone's talking. It's hard to give full. I don't see many people giving full attention, and I'm guilty of it too. Ingredient number two, enter the other person's world to understand how they feel. I struggle with that because I want people to enter my world and how I think. Ingredient number three is avoid interpreting. That's hard for me because I like to give commentary when people are telling me about their life. And I like to give editorial. It's fun. Don't you love doing that too? That's not being present with someone. Number four, reflect back and clarify when someone's speaking. That sounds really simple. That's hard for me because I like to hurry up the conversation so that we can move on to a really important topic like sports or something, you know? Ingredient number five, ask if there is more for them to share. How wild a thought is that? You'd never do that. Let's end the conversation, move on to something more important. Now again, I promise you, if you do two of these five, the community will be helped because people are not present. In our country, we're not present with each other. We're not really listening to each other very well. Last couple weeks, I want to share some positives. We have someone who can't attend their church where they live, and so they watch our services. And I had a conversation with them, and they said to me, Pastor, I watch the church service, but I don't really know how to contribute. I don't know how to really live out my Christian walk because all I do is watch services. And then the person said, I do go knock on the door of my neighbor, and I listen to them, and I hear the struggles that are going on in their life and the transitions that they're going through with their family members. And I paused and said, that's loving your neighbor. You're doing it. That's amazing. Then how about this story? We have a homebound member in our church that isn't as mobile as they used to be, and they sit in a recliner. They're probably watching right now. I'm not going to mention their name. They have a neighbor down the street that owns a llama, of all things. And every single day, they walk their llama down to our homebound member's house so that our homebound member can have just 5 minutes of having different scenery as they look outside. And the llama goes up to their window and stares at our member. And as I visited him, I got to experience it this last week. Do you see how, now that's a weird, twisted way of loving your neighbor, but it worked. It brought joy to our member. That's being connected. That's being present, you see. Did you know, research says, 70% of the world's problems can be solved through listening and being present. Do we need that? Yeah, we need that. Absolutely. Hard people are hard to love and even like. I get it. It was for Sister Helen. In the story, she is told by her colleagues in the convent to not be friends with Matthew Poncelet, just how much of a bad person he was. The victims that died in this horrific murder, the victims' parents, I should say, they were very upset that Sister Helen developed a relationship with Matthew Poncelet. And the newspapers heard that she made a connection with this prisoner that was on death row. She persisted. She became friends with someone that no one else would love. You know how the story ends? If you've seen the movie, you'll know. About 20 minutes before, this is a true story, before 20 minutes before Matthew Poncelet's, before he was put to death, Sister Helen approached him and said, "Matthew, did you murder those two teenagers that night?" And for the first time in his life, Matthew Poncelet admitted guilt. And he cried, and he was upset. And then Sister Helen did an amazing thing. She forgave him. And then she said this to Matthew, "When you're dying, look at my face so that you know that you have a face of love looking at you. And that way, when you die, you're not dying in your loneliness and your regret and anger, but you're dying in love." Dear friends, that is loving our neighbor as ourself. Going out on a limb with someone that's very different from ourselves. Again, it's not just loving God. The Pharisees did that. So did the Sadducees. It's also loving our neighbor as ourselves. That's the metric. Jesus Christ, in my understanding of his ministry and reading of the Gospels, he rejected people that focused solely just on the connection with God and without that connection translating into relationship with others. So the Pharisees and Sadducees, again, excellent spiritual disciplines, but it never filtered out into their relationships. Jesus called that false and fake religion, and so it is. Jesus practiced something different. Jesus had conversations, never as he rushed, with a man named Matthew, a tax collector that no one wanted to talk to. Jesus connected with Nathanael and a prostitute and Mary Magdalene. Never did he say, "Hey, finish up, Mary. I want to get to the sports game tonight. I want to check out how the Beavers are doing." That doesn't say, I don't read that in the Gospels anywhere. Never did Jesus say, "Hey, you enter my world." No, he goes to their turf and gets to know how they feel. Sometimes I think in life, our greatest fear is kind of being Matthew Poncelet, getting older and then facing the last few years of our life and dying with agony and regret and fear. Know this today, Jesus came to enter our space and our time. So that no matter what you're facing, you have a face of love to look at. Jesus is your greatest neighbor. A face of love, not just for now, but for all eternity, so that you can die in love and live for love for all eternity. Now here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. Can you identify someone that you can be better attentive to? That you can be fully connected, that you can be present with? Because here's the thing. We don't need to go to some big mission trip in some fancy place, and we don't need to go to social media to find it. God's already placed people around our lives that we can be attentive to and be a little more connected with in relationship and fully there. Again, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Jesus should have stopped there. He would have gotten the correct answer in 100% in his confirmation. But he went on. Love your neighbor as yourself. The metric for how much we love God is how much we love one another. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, what a powerful message we've heard today. And we pray that it would just resonate in our community. And Lord, I pray for the private names that were thought of just a second ago that people had in their minds of people that they can be more attentive to and focused on, that we can give our full attention to. Lord, give us your Holy Spirit so that we can make those connections this week. Work in this quiet way in our congregation to bring health in your spirit in our relationships. In Jesus' name, amen.